What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. The Dubs suffer a second consecutive embarrassing blowout loss. The who, what, where, when, why, and how of it all. Draymond Green speaks about this slow start. So does Steph Curry. And then we look ahead to tonight's game against the Pelicans. Not going to be an easy one. It's all coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Well, 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 well. I did not see this coming. Man, I thought they'd be bad. But this is really bad. I'm Charles T. Hamilton, your host. Locked On Warriors, what's going on? The Dubs lose again in blowout fashion to the Oklahoma City Thunder. A Sunday matinee game. And yeah, that's the excuse. It was a matinee game. That's why it happens. Never going to happen again. It was another tough matchup for the Warriors. The Thunder are long and tall, always have been. That's how they've built their team for ever. And the Warriors are small, especially without Kevon Looney and Willie Cauley-Stein. And it's annoying to keep having to bring that up, but that's just the case. They are without their two best centers, their starting centers. And that's part of what led to a 28-point loss against the Thunder. Thunder have better players past their stars. The Warriors are as top-heavy as they've ever been, probably the most top-heavy team in the NBA, and even more top-heavy than previous years, where it was Steph, Klay, KD, and Draymond, because the drop-off after them is larger than it's ever been this year compared to other years. So the Warriors started Marquese Chris at center again. It was Steph, D'Angelo, Glenn Robinson III, Draymond Green, and Marquese Chris. And they went up against Chris Paul, Terrence Ferguson, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Danilo Gallinari, and Steven Adams. That is a pretty big team to be going against, especially in the front court. Danilo Gallinari, 6'10", Steven Adams, 7 foot, million pounds, have no one to match up against him with. And the alarming part isn't the loss. It's not how bad the defense was. It's not that they're getting out-rebounded, because all these things we knew. We saw during the preseason, we see with how the team is built, that these things were going to happen. They're not going to be a good defensive team. They don't have enough defensive-minded players. They don't have enough good defensive players. They don't have enough size to be a great rebounding team or anything like that, even though I do give them credit for doing better today, focusing on rebounding and getting better at it. But the most frustrating and kind of shocking part is how bad the offense has been. They've gotten down 14-0 in the first game, 15-3 this game early. And before, they haven't held a lead yet through two games. And Steph cannot get it going. Neither can D'Angelo Russell. And then behind them, who's the third best offensive player, third best scoring option? Is it Jordan Poole? Because he's a rookie. He's a rookie 28th first-round pick. It's not as if he's a lottery pick who has, you know, enough immense talent to come in and give you 15 to 20 a game. Like, I still like Jordan Poole, but for him to be your third-best scoring option is way too much weight to put on a rookie, and it also isn't a good sign for this team. Now, of course, it's still only two games, and you got to give them some time to try and figure it out in gel, etc. One of the things that Steve Kerr's going to have to make some changes, and one of the changes that I'd like to see, at least until Kevon Looney and Willie Cauley-Stein are back, is run less of the offense through the center position. Stop having Amari Spellman and Marquese Chris make decisions. You know, Marquese Chris had three different pretty open layups. Two of them were, you know, contested, but still open. and then one of them was wide open out of the pick and roll, all three of them out of the pick and roll, that he decides to kick it out to Glenn Robinson the third for an open three, which is understandable, but at the same time, just take the easy buckets. So I would say stop putting the decision in your center's hands. I need the ball in Steph Curry's hands and D'Angelo Russell's hands all the time. There's going to be adjustments, and maybe they're going to have to go ISO more where you just let Steph cook, because I'm not sure what they're doing. Obviously, it's not the same without Klay, not just personnel-wise, but from what they're running on the floor. It doesn't look like what they've run before. It looks a little different and stagnant and slow. Steph talked about it's hard to get your offense going when you're taking the ball out of the hoop all the time, when you can't get a single stop and you're having to work in the half court. Well, you're going to have to figure it out, dude. Here's the other thing, too. I want to temper some things through two games, because it is just two games. But, man, I am not going to be here for any complaining from Steve Kerr or Steph or Draymond or any of these other guys, man. You got to figure it out. That's the game of basketball. And Steve Kerr has talked about the charmed life that the Warriors have lived for the last 7-8 years, where they've been a damn good team. They've been the best team in the league for 5 of those years. But now it's time to start doing some coaching, some player development. And here's the other thing, too. I've heard rumblings of, you know, the coaching staff doesn't love how the roster's been put together. Not that there's any friction or beef or anything, but they would have rather gone a different way. Which, if they had proven that they have the ability to develop a single player over the last 5 years, maybe they have an argument. But they're not the Spurs. They're not able to continue being a playoff team while developing for the future. They haven't proven to be able to do so. So I'm still on the side of this is the right way to go, even if this is an incredibly painful season for the Warriors, because it's looking towards the future and the longevity of being able to compete instead of possibly being able to compete this one more year and then having to do this the next year without the assets that you have this year. You know, if the coaching staff would have preferred to keep Andre Iguodala and then you bring in more veterans, those veterans that you're going to get are in their 30s. And like I said, you get one, maybe two more years out of them. And without having proven that they can continue to compete while developing players, I would so much rather take this path of development. And again, I'm not saying that this season's over. Obviously, there's 80 games left and plenty of time to figure things out and work things out, but that's exactly what they're going to have to do, is figure it out, because it's been a shocking first two games. For the first 7 quarters, the Warriors have allowed at least 30 points. It wasn't until the fourth quarter tonight, yesterday, where they were able to hold OKC to 15. And that was kind of a mercy thing. The Warriors were down 41 points at one point in this game. So like I said, it's not the defense. I mean, look, obviously the defense is a problem, but that's not the surprising part of this team. It's the fact that they can't get anything going offensively. And I told you it's going to be incredibly tough to win games when Steph has a bad game. It's going to be even harder to win games when Steph and D'Angelo have bad games. And that's exactly what we got tonight. Steph was 7 of 18, 2 of 9 from 3 for 23 points. And a tech. D'Angelo Russell, 3 of 10 from the field, 0 of 1 from 3, 6 points, 2 techs, and an ejection. So the coaching staff is going to have to figure something out, because here's the other thing. There are plenty of bad teams throughout the history of the NBA, throughout the last couple years. Look at the Phoenix Suns. But Devin Booker's still been able to go off. So the coaching staff is going to have to figure out how to free up Steph, how to free up D'Angelo Russell, and get this offense humming, because it seems like they concede at times to allowing Steph to be double-teamed and kick it to an open Jacob Evans or something, which is not going to work. The whole mantra of Steve Kerr over the last 5 years of, you know, the system works. Just continue to work the system, and, you know, the ball will find the open guy and we'll get the bucket, blah, blah, blah. Not the case this year, man. Going to have to figure something else out, especially offensively. You're gonna, I know they're going to try their best defensively, but I don't know how much you can do. But I do know that there's enough talent on offense that they shouldn't be losing games by 30 points, 28 points. They shouldn't be down 41 points in a game. So going to have to figure some things out. Draymond talked about the new reality of this team and just the new basketball reality that they're living in. Going to talk about that in just a minute, but first, Indochino is the world's largest made-to-order menswear brand. Start your style upgrade now with $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when entering the code LOCKEDON at checkout. That's LOCKEDON at checkout. Draymond Green has spent his NBA life, a pretty charmed NBA life. Not that he hasn't worked for it or hasn't contributed to it or anything like that, but he's made the playoffs every single year of his NBA career, been on teams above 500 every single year in his NBA career. This is a different reality for Draymond, and he is learning about it as it goes along. And he doesn't seem to be loving it. But he's definitely also not taking it too hard at the same time. He understands there's 80 games left and that they're not very good right now and they can get better. Here's a couple of clips of him from post-game just trying to explain that.
No, I'm not I don't get deflated by basketball. You know, you want to win, you do all you can, you win, but basketball, like I'm not about to.
I just mean more
get
like
down in the dumps.
Motivated to like, hey, let's kind of try to get this back.
Yeah,
it seems to kind of compound on it.
You know, you want that and you hope that and you feel that way, but the reality of it is we're just not capable of doing that right now. I would like to see us play harder. You know, that'll help a little bit, but the reality is we fucking suck right now. And, you know, hopefully we'll get better. We'll continue working at it and try to get better, but we're just not that good right now. And that's, I don't know what better way to frame that for you or tell it. You know, I could try in Spanish, but I ain't really that good in Spanish. That's really the best way I can tell it to you right now.
Draymond also, as I mentioned, has been in the playoffs eight straight years, I believe it is, his entire NBA career. And he also realizes that a rebuild is basically something that everyone has to go through. There's no way around it.
Sucks. But I guess just about everybody except Tim Duncan have been through it. But it sucks pretty bad.
Did you have a few, not that you were going to get blown out like this two straight games, but like that it was going to be rough early?
No, I didn't have this feeling that it'd be like this. You know, you kind of figure like, you know, shit won't be the same, but I didn't think we'd be getting our ass kicked like this. It's pretty bad.
What was halftime like? I think you had 70-37. What was it?
It was normal. You know. Wasn't like no blow-up speech or nothing, if that's what you're looking for. It wasn't that. It's just halftime of getting our ass kicked. It's the halfway point of it.
How crazy is that Tim Duncan never had to go through a rebuild? His entire career. Playoffs every single year. That's wild. And that's funny. It's wild. It's also, you know, shows Draymond knows his stuff a little bit, but that's crazy. I never even really thought of that. So, I mean, good for him, I guess, but man. That's crazy. Steve Kerr also just talked about the situation going on in Golden State, and he mentioned about how he's been trying to ramp down expectations for this team throughout his summer of media availability, just kind of trying to keep expectations to a minimum, to a realistic minimum, I guess. Here's what he had to say.
It's two games into the season, and as I said, we don't have a sense of who we are as a team yet. We haven't established much. We're playing, as I said, without centers, and we're playing with 9 new players. So, you know, I realize I'm making plenty of excuses, but they're real. You know, we had just an incredible amount of roster turnover and lost, you know, guys who had years and years of service in this league and institutional knowledge. So we have to build that back up with these young guys. And it takes time. This is not easy. You know, what we did the last 5 years was not easy, but there's a reason it worked. We had a lot of talent. We had a lot of guys who were really, really smart basketball players. And so the whole point now is to bring these young guys along, help them get better every day, and form a team and develop an identity so that we can start winning some games.
So Steve Kerr, he said, I realize I'm making plenty of excuses, but they're real. That's the thing. I think there's a difference between an excuse and an explanation. An excuse is, oh, this happened and that's why, like, something went wrong for me. Something went against me. An explanation is, look, this is what happened. This is why we are where we are. But I will say this, if it just continues to be explanations without changes, that's when I'll start to get upset. But I do like his candor, his honesty, because, yeah, this is where the Warriors are. And he's talked about it forever. He talked about it in his 5 years when they were, you know, the best team in the league. Basically, this is not normal NBA life. You know, when you have 4 Hall of Famers on your team starting, that's not normal NBA life. This, what we're going through right now, is much more of an NBA life. But again, like I said, if these excuses and explanations don't come with changes and efforts to be better, that's when I'll start to get annoyed. The good news is that they have another chance today to make those changes and to get better against the New Orleans Pelicans. Going to take a quick look at that game coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. The Dubs are taking on the Pelicans at 5 o'clock today on NBA TV. One of these teams is going to get their first win of the season tonight. That's a guarantee. Dubs are 0-2, Pelicans 0-3. And here's the thing. I want to judge the Warriors against teams that I think are closer to their level instead of judging them in the Clippers loss. Like, the Clippers are just a better team. Clippers are the best team in the league. And you're going to get blown out by the best team in the league. You know how I know that? Because I watched the Warriors be the best team in the league for the last 5 years and blow everyone out. So, as far as that game goes, I kind of shrug my shoulders. Against the Thunder, that is alarming. And now against the Pelicans, we'll see what they can put together against them. But these are the teams that I measure them against much more than say, the Clippers, Lakers, etc. Pelicans do have the size advantage. Almost everyone's going to have the size advantage on the Warriors, at the very least until they get their centers back. And even then, there's going to be size advantages for other teams. But they start with J.J. Redick, Lonzo Ball, Josh Hart, Brandon Ingram, and Derek Favors, or at least that's who they came out with yesterday. Solid lineup. We all know Lonzo Ball can defend. Josh Hart is 3-and-D, hit or miss on his jump shot, can be streaky. Redick gets buckets. Ingram, depends who you are, how you feel about him. And then Favors is just another big body that the Warriors don't have. And even behind him, they've got the young guy, Jackson Hayes, who can come in and run the floor, be a different look, but also another 7-footer. So again, I maybe they allow Steph and D'Angelo to go maybe a little more one-on-one, a little more pick and roll, but that's the other thing. Without Willie Cauley-Stein, they're missing a good pick and roll partner, even with Marquese Chriss, who will get a dunk here and there, but he just, like I said, his decision-making in the pick and roll hasn't been the best. So we will have to wait and see. But like I said, the good thing is there's 80 games left for them to try and get this thing together, try and figure it out. But, man, it's been a rough start, very rough start. Like I said, it's not the losses. It's how they've lost. League pass picks for tonight. I'm going to go with a team that is just as confusing as the Warriors. And like I said, it's not that they've lost to these teams. It's how they've lost to these teams. It's the Kings taking on the Nuggets. The Kings are 0-3 and have been getting their butts kicked. Just like the Warriors coming in with some expectations this year. Have not met them through three games. They look a little sluggish. And defense has not been good. They've been turning over the ball a bunch. Nuggets look solid. Can the Kings get on track? I hope so, because they were one of the funnest teams to watch last year. And I'd much rather a Kings-Warriors rivalry have to do with both of them being good and not both of them fighting for draft lottery position. And then on top of that, we will go with the Sixers and the Hawks, because I've enjoyed watching Trae Young ball out so far in this season, and it's a good measuring stick game for the Hawks. Sixers probably will get the win, but we'll just have to wait and see. I mean, it's like I said, it's a measuring stick game. Is it a game where after I feel like, okay, similar to the Warriors and the Clippers, Warriors just aren't on their level? After this game, am I going to think the Hawks just aren't on their level? Am I going to, I don't know, they're pretty good. So we'll see. Thank you guys so much for listening. Be back with another episode of Locked On Warriors tomorrow on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.